Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or who ever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
You turn man back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or a watch of the night.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing on him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, anyone of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are opening up the month of September with the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time.
And not just any Sunday, as we mentioned last week. This is our 20th year anniversary. Our first program or broadcast was Labor Day of 2005. And so a huge thanks to Mater Dei Radio for giving us this opportunity, not only to share the gospel over the airwaves, but to also grow in our own faith. And thank you, Carla, for being such an amazing co-host. We've had so much fun together.
We have had fun.
It has been great.
Not over yet.
It's not. We're moving into the 21st year.
Yes, we are.
I do want to point out this coming week is Patriot Day. So September 11th is a national day of service and remembrance. And that's, of course, in memory of the 2,996 people killed on September 11th, 2001, in the attacks of New York City, Arlington, Virginia, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And I actually had a chance to visit the Shanksville, Pennsylvania Memorial relatively recently, and what an emotional, poignant visit that was. Again, that brought so many memories back and how we need to continue to pray and work for peace. That was just a reminder to fly the flag at half staff that day, and there is a moment of silence to be observed at 8:46 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So if you get up early, remember that. Do want to point out that St. Peter Claver's feast day is September 9th. He was a Jesuit priest who ministered to African slaves in Colombia in the 17th century. He was born in 1581 in Spain, became a Jesuit at age 20, volunteered and moved to Cartagena, which is in Colombia, in 1610. And that's where he noticed firsthand the cruelty in which the slaves were being treated. So he is known sort of ministering to the African slaves. He resolved to work both bring bodily and spiritual aid to the slaves, vowing to be a slave of the slaves forever. And so he did amazing work just for that respect of the human person.
Exactly.
So please, on that date, remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our first reading today, Wisdom chapter 9. So this is very interesting. Today's reading is actually the culmination of a 4-chapter discourse of King Solomon's love for Lady Wisdom. Chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. So a little overview of all of this, because I think it ties things together pretty well. Chapter 6, the Lord gives Solomon wisdom in answer to his prayer. Chapter 7, Lady Wisdom is described as a beautiful bride, and not just any bride, but a bride that embodies the major divine attributes of God. Listen to some of the things he wrote in chapter 7. Solomon writes, "She is a breath of the power of God, omnipotence, the all-powerful." He also writes, "She is a reflection of eternal light, omniscience, or all-knowledgeable." He still writes, "Though she is but one, she can do all things, an omnipresence or an all-presence. And she orders all things well, an omnibeneficence or an all-good." This is the bride that Solomon seeks. Of course, in chapter 8, we see then Solomon's romance with wisdom, and then we get to today's reading where Solomon once again prays for wisdom and recognizes God's greatness. This is the wisdom that Solomon was seeking, and of course, what we need to seek today.
Right, right. And earlier before this, right, it was a God asked Solomon what gift he wanted,
yes.
Right? And Solomon chose the gift of wisdom. God blessed Solomon with that gift. In fact, a wisdom greater than any other human being ever possessed. And the author in this particular passage poses the question, who can know God's counsel or conceive what the Lord intends? And then we hear the words, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit, and thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The reading reminds us that all knowledge of the Creator possessed by mortal man, everything about God that can be grasped by mankind, was revealed by God through the gift of wisdom. And it's through the virtue of wisdom that we're able to see God's purpose, and wisdom inspires us to pursue God's holy will in everything we do.
Yes. How important that is. That orders our daily life, doesn't it? And the second reading talks about how we should treat everyone we see in our daily life. We have St. Paul writing to Philemon, and he was writing on behalf of Philemon's slave Onesimus. And of course, back then, even maybe today, but freeing a slave was very uncommon back in Paul's time. So what we see here is Paul saying, hey, that you might have him back forever. I mean, this is not only a huge deal in terms of freeing a slave, but no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother. He's elevating that slave in status to be a brother of Philemon. Now, This true charity can only be voluntary. It can't be forced. But our call is a voluntary response to treat everyone with love and respect, biblical love and respect. That means our family. That means our friends. That even means our not so friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to treat everyone with that love and respect is so fundamental in how we show love for neighbor.
I totally agree. Yeah. And like you said, in this reading, St. Paul's asking Philemon to ignore the social barriers that exist under the law and to put social status aside as a personal favor to St. Paul and to accept Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother. Social boundaries continue to impact our modern day social structure, and sometimes it causes issues that get in the way of genuine Christian unity. You know, we have the theys and the us. We even see this play out in school, you know, with kids. Yeah, even Christian theme schools where kids have learned to distinguish between cool kids, nerds, and dweebs, and to shun those who've been determined to be unacceptable companions. You know, that might have been why St. Paul was so passionate in his request to Philemon. Maybe it was because he was asking Philemon, what he was asking him to do was going to cause him to suffer some kind of criticism by his peers.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
He's
going to
be, you know, what is this, a slave? And now he's your friend. But he was being asked to put aside those social structures, that the social barriers that cause division, and to embrace the fullness of Christianity, which makes all men equal.
Right, exactly. And that, of course, sums up that second great commandment, the love of neighbor. The gospel today, according to Luke, talks about that first commandment, the love of God. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, or even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Oh, man. The word hating, right?
Right?
Let's talk about that for just a second, because that is so important. It's actually what's called an idiom. Idiom is an expression that cannot be understood from the literal meaning of the words. Like, say, for example, if I say it's raining cats and dogs,
right.
I don't mean that literally, right?
Okay.
But there's an expression. There's a learning to be given. There's something I'm trying to communicate. So
Right. Love
of God has to be greater than any family bond. And that's what he's trying to convey here. And these stories that we see in the gospel today illustrate the process of becoming a disciple, to prepare, to make a decision, and then to act. But in all of those things, we must choose Christ over any human relations, any material goods, or honor and power, right? And we can't casually enjoy Christ and his teaching when it's convenient to us. No, Christ says, if you follow me, you must be prepared to give up everything. But in turn, I will give you back more than you have given me.
Exactly. He says, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And back then, saying pick up your cross, it wasn't just symbolic like it is today. It was reality. The horror of the crucifixion was a reality. And that's Jesus. He's all about full disclosure. He wants us all to know exactly what we're getting into. And that true discipleship, like you said, is not going to be easy. And he told us that, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. Not exactly a great sound, you know, a sound bite that's he's trying to recruit people, right? And that's what makes it all the more amazing that his disciples didn't just run to the hills and hide. And that's where grace comes into play. They could never have found the courage, the strength, or the faith to persevere without the grace of God. Jesus isn't asking us to go it alone. He's just asking us to say yes, to trust him, and follow him.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREI radio.com.